Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to get straight into this morning. First of all, I welcome every person in all of our locations, from Newcastle down to London, from Liverpool across to Leeds, from Kuala Lumpur to Ghana, over to Frankfurt, to Darmstadt. We give a huge welcome here from Hope City, Sheffield. Okay, your future depends entirely upon the seven decisions of life. Number one, the sins you decide to lay down and leave at the foot of the cross. The sins you decide to lay down and leave, not pick up again. Your sins are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this, permission for feedback this morning, permission for proper interaction this morning, permission to say amen, to say good point, to say anything you like, as long as it's positive this morning. Your future is entirely dependent upon the sins that you leave under the blood and never remember again for the rest of your life. Secondly, everyone say secondly. Your future depends entirely upon the failures you decide to learn from and then forever bury and forever forget in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? You want to learn from every failure and then you want to forget every failure. You don't want to live under failure or get your identity from being a failure. You don't want to identify it. You want to leave it again at the foot of the cross. Number three, everyone say number three. The distrust that you decide will never again hold the steering wheel of a new season in God. If your future rests entirely upon your ability to not allow distrust to move from that previous season into this new season, to leave it back in 2018, but not to bring it into 2019 because it'll sabotage your faith. Number four, everyone say number four. Your future depends entirely upon the self-portrait you decide to never paint again. For you to have a blank canvas and for you not to paint the past you, but for you to only ever paint the future you. You don't want to rob the future you by painting the past you. There's no time for the past you. There's only time to get yourself ready for the future you. And so your future is entirely dependent upon the portrait that you refuse to ever paint again. And number five, your future is dependent entirely on the losses that you're prepared to lay down and leave behind you on the altar of God. The people that took you from A to B are often not the same people that take you from B to C. And the people you took from A to B are often not the same people that you take from B to C. The only reason why God wants you to let go is because there's somebody else He wants you to pick up. And if you keep hanging on to the past and hanging on to the people of the past, then there's people who want to board your train, but it's too crowded. You've got the wrong people on your train. Your train is no longer going from A to B. It's going from B to C. It's a new leg of the journey. You're going to have to let some people off. It'll be a loss to you. But this loss is important that you take a loss in order to open up some seats on your train as it leaves from B to C. If a tree never sheds its leaves, there will be no new leaves. There'd be no new fruit. There'd be no new day. Those people who you wish were now in your lives. Those people you wish right now were texting you, bantering with you, laughing with you, crying with you, connecting with you, were good for them. They weren't bad days. They were great connections. It was great banter. It was great spiritual connection. But it was good for them. It was good for A to B. We're not dissing it. We're just placing it in its right segment of the journey within your life. You're not traveling now from A to B. You've moved out of the station at B and you are moving on in your lives. They cannot be the sole supplier of every stage of the journey in your life. And you cannot be the sole supplier of everything they need in every stage of the future journey of their lives. They've got to grow up into Christ. They can't grow up into you. You're not Christ. They're going to have to get their reliance on God. And you're going to have to get your reliance on God. This is not about BFFs. This is about CHRIST. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about your dependence upon Him. That's why you've got to have some losses, because we worship the things that we've lost. And God's trying to cleanse us so that Christ is central within our lives. It was good for a season. They were right for a season, but this is not that season. This is a new season, and new seasons come with new people, new teams, and new connections. You're not still at A, you're at B. You've grown older and wiser and different. You can't keep moving from A to B and then from B back to A like your soul wants you to. Then A to B, then B back to A. Welcome to the most destructive cycle in life, where everyone's in relationships that are old and worn out, like an old t-shirt you don't want to wear anymore. This is not cyclic. You've traveled from A to B, and now we're moving from B to C. You've placed yourself, you're bigger now than you've been. You've grown up, you're older, you're wiser, you're different to how you were at A. Stop seeing yourself as younger than you actually are, as less strong than you actually are. Something's happened. You're a different person to how you were back when you were at A. And you've got to place yourself back on the growth track. You're going to have to grow again. I'm literally talking about Wednesday night. I'm literally talking about your mentality. You've got to put yourself back on the growth track, off the soul track, back onto the growth track. You've grown in God, and this is not the end of your growth in God. This is where you continue to grow. Stop having stunted development and grow stronger and bigger and bolder than you've ever been in your past. It's going to take a new group of people. It's going to take new connections. You have to stop making people your God and make purpose your goal. You're here to change the world. You're here to bring order into chaos. You're here to bring light into darkness. You're here to fight the corruption with the new life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here to love unconditionally, grow unbelievably, stand uncompromisingly, run undauntingly, and lead unambiguously your world for Christ. It's not all about your friendship, but friendship's important, but it's not the same friends. There are people in this room that want to meet you. There's people in this room that want to help you. There's people that want to stoke your engine, put coal in your fire. But if the train is full, they cannot get on. You've got to let go in order to move on in this new season that God has for you. And you weren't even born for B. You were born for C, D, and E. And then you were born for F, G, and I. And then you're born for L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. And eventually you're born for Z. American. Where God will reward you for every sacrifice, for every junction you made, for everyone who hopped off your train, God will reward you for every time you kept the door open for new connections, new contacts, new people, new friends, new developments, new growth. Every time you did it, that's what God will reward you for, because that's the time you pick up your cross to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because you want to hang on to everybody. But if you hang on, you'll rob your future of everything that God has for your future. It's a tough life, but either you suffer by living in the past or you suffer by losing something in the junction in order to gain something in the future of your life. Just got two more things to say about it. Number one, stop thinking that everybody's leaving you when in reality, you probably left them a year ago. Have you been on a train and there's been a train next to you and the train started moving, but your train hasn't moved, but it's an optical illusion. And sometimes there's an optical illusion that you think that they've left you when you grew, when you matured, when you found the real you. It's when you split. It's just that last week was the manifestation of something that actually cracked a year ago because you grew in Christ. If you're living by faith, it'll take you on a journey. And as Jen preached last Sunday night, that journey will take you from Bethlehem to Nazareth, from Nazareth to the Jordan, from the Jordan to the desert, from the desert to Capernaum, from Capernaum to Samaria, from Samaria eventually to Jerusalem. But it's not stationary. You're in a new place now. And this new place requires new connections. It requires new friends. It requires new people to take you on this new section of God's journey that He has for you. Secondly, and lastly on this point, stop thinking that something's been taken off you and start thinking that they've been given over by you. Otherwise, you'll feel like God's just robbed you of another relationship. You'll feel like the church. You'd feel like friendships have been robbed from you. You need to get ahead of the game, and before they leave, you ought to give them away. I remember one of the legends in the past in Hope City Church called Glenn Barrett, that he was my associate, I don't know, for 12 years or something like that. And he was heading up a massive youth movement across this nation. But when it came to the local church, he was like a lanky teenager. And I felt if I didn't get ahead of the curve, he'll be taken from me by circumstances, by inner dreams, by visions. And so I said to him, I said, Glenn, I think you ought to go to Manchester, to Hope City, Manchester, and that ought to become your church. And so he went over there. He said, I like it there. And so he went over there, and then we changed the name of the church to Audacious Church. It's now become either the largest or the second largest church in Manchester. And I feel 100% a part of it because it wasn't taken from me. I gave it away. I gave him away. See, some of you just, you're not ahead of the, you're kind of waiting for the reaction of life until eventually it's got to leave you. Eventually it's changed in its direction. It's changed in its nature, and there's got to come a split, but you want to be ahead of the split. And you want to get some control, and you want to get a spirit of generosity in order to give stuff away before it falls away. Otherwise, you constantly feel like you've been robbed by God. You need to create an altar. You need to place people on the altar. And you know, the altar, when you give somebody away, it's not necessarily that you just forget about them. You're actually trusting in God that this altar is the best place for them. Let me say this relationally about a girlfriend or boyfriend, that often when tensions rise, you ought to place them on the altar, probably because you're overconnected to them. Probably because you overlove them, because we're sticky creatures. We're born for worship, and we tend to worship the other person, put all these kinds of expectations upon them. You ought to place them on the altar. It doesn't necessarily mean they're gone forever. What does mean is if God resurrects them and they become your partner for life, it's a brand new relationship. That you've allowed them to change, to not come under your controlling influence, to be exactly who God's called them to be. And then from then on in your relationship, there's like a cigarette paper's width distance between you and them to create a healthy relationship for the rest of your lives. You cannot be totally stuck on somebody because our heart wants to worship them. And so everything in life, when it gets too much for you, you've got to place the person on the altar of life because you're totally trusting God for your future and for their future. Number six, your future depends entirely upon the offenses you decide to both forgive and ignore for the rest of your days. Stop being distracted by smallness. Your life purpose isn't to constantly put out fires of injustice. You can't attend to every drama because you heard your name being mentioned. You can't spend your life self-justifying because it'll entirely swallow you up. There are offenses that you need to both forgive and to ignore. People get on the justice bandwagon and it kills them. Because this life isn't about justice. It's about the newness of life in Christ. It's about the wholeness of life in Christ. It's not a matter of getting even. It's not just a matter of getting right. It's the fullness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you're putting out fires, when you're trying to establish your reputation, while you're trying to get back at somebody, you can miss out on the entirety of the future of your life because of distraction. There's a dream to accomplish, there's a purpose to live out, and there's a future to attend to. There's a reason why you'll never be liked by everybody. Number one is because when you dream a dream, you remind people of their unfulfilled dreams. And people, when reminded of their unfulfilled dreams, all they can see is burnt out car wrecks on the M1 of their life, wishing that life had been different. You cannot be young and vibrant without igniting a resentment over the old and bitter. And secondly, when you start accomplishing great things, you remind people of all of the things they should have accomplished, but they failed to accomplish. Stop trying to be liked by everybody. And when you are hated by people, a lot of it's deflective. When people hate me, often it's nothing to do with me. It's because I represent newness. I represent fresh dreams. I represent achievement. I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I represent the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of it's deflective. It was actually meant for Christ or meant for somebody else, but it's deflective. I've got to choose to be the bigger person. And you need to become in 2019 the bigger person. Stop reacting to every bit of poking that people give you. Stop reacting every time you hear your name mentioned in a bad light. Stop reacting to it. Let it be like water off a duck's back. Get a thicker skin. Come on, you can do this because you ought to be so undistracted from your mission to live a full life and to bring the fullness of life to your generation. God does two things to the oppressed. Number one, he defends them. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6 says that he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy calling. God sets the lonely in families and leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. He's a defender of the defenseless. And if you stop defending yourself, you become defenseless, and then God starts to defend you. And God's got a lot of time on his hands. He's got a lot of patience. But when God strikes, when God moves, no demon can stand in his way when you make God your defense weapon. I remember Dave Cartledge prophesying over me. He's a great apostle in Australia back in 1996, and he said, Dave, there's going to be war on the outside of you and war on the inside of you. There's going to be war outside of the church and within the church, but God will hold you in the palm of his hand, and you won't know the story of the battle that rages around about you because God will keep you protected in the palm of his hand. Well, that's because God's a defender of those unjustly treated. And I would say within this room that 90% of us in this room today have been unjustly treated. And you ought to, allow God to come to your defense and put down your weapons of justice, your weapons of lawyers, and your weapons of mass distraction. Because our mission isn't to bring justice to this earth. Our mission is to bring resurrection life to this earth. Secondly, about oppression is that God uses it. Exodus chapter 1, verse 12, which I've read already on the screen. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. In the year 197, a great church leader called Tertullian wrote, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Why? Because persecution cleanses us. Persecution gets us closer to God. Persecution gets us ready. And when you're cleansed, when you're closer to God, when you're ready, when you set yourself apart, when it's no longer about your reputation, but it's about the reputation of Christ, that's when God's ready to move. So if you feel like you've come into this year and you've abandoned your reputation, it's been taken from you and there's been persecution on every side, God's getting you ready for revival. And we need revival. We need a move of the Spirit of God like we've never seen before in the north of England, across Malaysia, across Germany, across Africa. We need a move of the Spirit of God like we've never seen it before. The more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. And I'm believing for a whole lot of us in this room, including Hope City Church, that we're moving into a season of great multiplication. Number seven, everybody say number seven. Your future is determined by the dreams that you decide will never die. No matter how long it takes, no matter how difficult, no matter how insufficient the funds, none of us were born for average. None of us were born for mediocrity. You're looking at someone that hates average. You're looking for somebody who adores extreme. I wasn't born to raise an average church. I was born to raise a church on the cutting edge of the movements of the Spirit of God for a generation. You weren't born not to leave a footprint on planet Earth of the Spirit of Christ. You weren't born not to leave a ripple that eventually reaches the shores of generations that you've never known and people you've never met. You are called to make a ripple through your time on earth that will affect the future of planet Earth. I don't know about you, but I'm a world changer. I'm not just here just to go through the motions of religion. I'm here to change the world. To change the world. And because very few people want to do it, I've got an advantage. And same with you, to influence this world for eternal life, to touch generations. Waverly isn't a building. It's a vision, it's a dream, it's a desire, and it's a calling. Put slide one up. It's a vision of a large growing church. It's a vision of a large growing church that creates such a sound that the nation stands to attention and listens. A church in the north of England that is so vibrant, that is so big, that influences the disadvantaged, that takes the marginalized and lifts them up. A church that's so victorious and so joy-filled. A church that makes such a sound that Parliament takes note. That there's something happening in the north of England. That's my church. It's not a church just tucked away in the back streets. It's not a church that just kind of ambles along just in the valleys and the shadows. It's a church on a hill. It's a church on a hill. It's a church that lights up the whole region of where God has placed us. Number two is a vision of an enterprise center, providing business platforms and facilities to train and equip people. And it unites us with the engine room of our society.
Big business, small business, big entertainment, small entertainment. That's Waverley. I don't know how hungry you are, but I want to be united with the movers and shakers of a generation. I want to lift up the poor, the marginalized, the broken, but I want to unite with today's engine room, with today's movers and shakers. And as we do that, we'll receive finance for doing that. If you create conferencing, if you create meeting rooms, if you encourage people, it'll create finance to finance the lifting of the marginalized, to create a sustainable vision through professional five-star services to both the business and the entertainment industry. And thirdly, it's a vision for a community hub that's never been done before. Housing ministries that'll take people from the cradle to the grave. Every age group. In Waverley, we're building a chapel. In that chapel, doing dedications. In that chapel, doing marriages. In that chapel, doing funerals. Joe Willis is going to be the funeral director. Pick the right guy. He's got the right mannerisms, the right personality. This is so complicated, it's never been done before under one roof, but we can do this. I feel born for the challenge. We've got 7 vision centers to create opportunity and advantage from disadvantage. Fresh motivation for the marginalized. We want, number one, next slide, to create strong families, parent and toddler groups, parent and life skills training, cooking skills, create a community nursery, a new community nursery, to give special education, to give need support to people. Secondly, to engage young people, the youth and sports clubs, schools, outreach work, confidence classes, anti-bullying classes, mental health support, provide tutoring, alternative education. Number three, support for the elderly, just prepping the church for my later years. Arts and crafts. Line dancing. Keep it moderate for Jen. Low impact sports, like water aerobics. Fill the pool. IT classes, special interest groups. Number four, building bright futures, bringing back ESOL, teaching English to non-English speaking people, providing workplaces, providing volunteer apprenticeships, providing apprenticeships, providing basic skills and back to work support. Number five, to rehabilitate ex-offenders, putting and giving them key skills training, providing back to work assistance, providing holistic personal mentoring and group classes. Number seven, releasing entrepreneurs, providing business startup support, providing business training, providing space for businesses. And number seven, a base for City Hearts as it extends its vision to assist even more survivors of modern slavery and multiply its impact upon women with life-controlling issues. Here's what it could look like. Next slide, ground floor, multi-purpose hall, cafe, nursery, auditorium, creative center, chapel. First floor, training rooms, training rooms, training rooms, training rooms, training rooms. Top floor, the growing staff and volunteers of a growing regional church, bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, love to the loveless, salvation to the lost, healing to the sick, rest to the weary, strength to the weak, sight to the blind, freedom to the bound. After Jesus was tested in the wilderness, my God, we feel like we've been tested in the wilderness. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He went straight to Nazareth, his hometown, and read from Isaiah. This is what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm just going to step down one for drama. Say, this is that year. This is it. I've got no second life. I ain't playing Fortnite a few hours a day. I'm not following Coronation Street. This is my life. Dedicating it to a church where the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're building the church of God. That's why we've said Waverley's not a building, even though it kind of is. Waverley's a vision. And the vision starts now. To lift the oppressed, that's now. To build a strong, vibrant, growing church, that's now. To build a bigger you, that's now. It's through our growth tracks. It's through our dinner parties. It's through our let's go parties. It's through our dream teams. It's through everything that we're doing. It's through our 5-minute cool down at the end of the service.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.